for joining us here on the Neutral Zone. I am Phil Milani, joined as always by my esteemed colleague, my partner in crime, and the person that I need more than anybody on this Monday, and that's at Eric Dalala.
Phil, I'm here for you. Thank you. Don't weep. Don't be sad.
It was a difficult weekend, I'll say that, Eric.
It was a difficult weekend, but we can move past it, Phil.
That's true. Sean Payton said, you already lost this one. Don't let the Lions beat you twice.
That's right.
It's a good mindset to have moving forward.
Got to find a way to move past it. We'll certainly look back on it, but you, like Sean Payton said, you can't let this one snowball.
You got to look back to look forward.
Yeah. Got to make the corrections, but you can't let it linger too long.
That's true. That's true.
Because as Sean Payton said, you got to find a way now to get three wins. Starts this week against New England. Got to find a way to get this one and move past what was a tough loss in Detroit.
Yes, it was. I mean, that was the final game of a three-game road streak here for the Broncos. And I think that that's tough to do. Three in a row on the road. Even after a game, Russell Wilson was like, look, it'll be good to get back in front of our home fans. And during that stretch, Eric, we saw the Broncos' five-game winning streak come to an end in the loss against Houston, bounce back against the Chargers, a team that's obviously had some rough bumps here, you know, ended up firing Brandon Staley this week. Got that win, but then you know, the third one there, it seemed like the Broncos just didn't come out with their best effort against the Lions.
Yeah, you know, I think speaking in terms of the three-game road trip, I think you could tell just that's a difficult thing to do in this league, and it's rare that it happens. It's the first time Broncos have had one since 2017. But Phil, they've now had 10 three-game road trips since the merger in 1970, and they've never won more than one game.
Yeah.
And that includes some pretty good teams. The 97 team that won the Super Bowl had a three-game road stretch, won just one game.
One of them, yep.
I believe a couple years ago, a couple teams that, you know, have played in Super Bowls had them, struggled as well. I mean, it's just a tough thing to do when, especially this past week, you're on a short week, you leave Friday, you know, you just don't have the time to recover and kind of have the advantages that go with being at home. And I think Sean Payton, he mentioned the impact that playing three games in 13 days has on a team. Could have had a practice here on Monday as they were recording this, and Sean Payton decided, hey, let's just give the guys some rest here. They'll be back in Wednesday and just kind of reset, refocus before they go forward. But I do think that when we went into this game, there was a sense of, hey, here's a great opportunity. And it's easy one week at a time to kind of put things on their own and not think holistically about, okay, this is still part of the three-game road trip even after a win. And maybe that just kind of caught up with them a little bit in Detroit. Certainly not the only reason why they lost. Don't want to use it as an excuse,
no.
But there's a reason why three-game road trips are hard. And certainly the Lions, as Sean said, kind of kicked their butt on Saturday, and you wonder if that had something to do with it.
Yeah, but I think Eric, when I look at this Broncos team right now, I think when the Broncos play their best football, they're capable of beating the Chiefs. They're capable of going on the road and beating the Bills. You know, when this Broncos team is on, they're capable of knocking off some of the better teams in the NFL. But I think the same is true of this Broncos team on the flip side. When they're a little bit off, it doesn't feel like things are going their way. You see the result against Detroit or, you know, some of these games that happened earlier in the season. When the Broncos aren't playing, they're not quite good enough to just show up and try and beat some of these teams. And particularly teams that have a lot of speed like the Lions do, you do tend to see some breakdowns. And it felt like to me when the Lions had the ball, a lot of that started with their running game. And Sean Payton even kind of said that on this Monday.
Yeah, I think you're right that the Broncos have to kind of play their game, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And when they've had success like they did against the Chargers, like they did, I guess let's talk more successful teams. The Browns, for example, here in Denver, the Bills on the road, Kansas City when they came here. In those wins, the Broncos played their game, right?
Yeah, exactly.
They ran the ball well. They threw off play action. They didn't turn the ball over. They got takeaways on defense. They played with a lead. I think we've seen how important that is for this Denver team from a pass rush standpoint.
The start of the game.
And unfortunately, against Detroit, the Broncos actually started, you know, the first quarter was decent. And I think at that point, it felt like anybody's game. I think I texted you, Phil, that there was some anxiousness inside Ford Field. People, ooh, I think Lions fans were kind of like, ooh, what's going on? Because the Lions did not score on their first three possessions.
Yeah.
Did not have a lot of success. The Broncos on their first possession have a big play to Jerry Jeudy.
40 yards.
Mims gets a first down, and it feels like, oh, man, hey, if the Broncos score here, you've got a chance to take control
of rolling.
What this game feels like, make it your type of game. And unfortunately, that fumble by Russell Wilson there gets strip sacked on the naked bootleg. Even though the Broncos don't give up points, that was a big turning point. And, and kind of, even though it was early, even though it was your first drive, it felt like that's where you got away from the opportunity to play your game.
Yeah, and then the Lions eventually got on the board there.
Right, then score touchdowns 5 of 6 possessions.
Yeah, they got rolling a little.
Yeah, it felt like you had to, that was the chance where you had to take control of the game and make it your game. And unfortunately, against good teams on the road in prime time, when you're on a 3-game road trip, the margins get small, right? You've got to take advantage of every opportunity. And the Broncos couldn't do it there. And even though it was so early, that to me felt like the pivotal moment in the football game.
Yeah, and that's 2 weeks in a row, really. The Broncos have come out and had that big turnover early. The defense in both of those situations bails them out. Eventually, they were able to get back on track and beat the Chargers, but not able to do that against the Lions. Eric, I think the Broncos offense had 75 yards at halftime, and two plays were the majority of those yards, with the Jeudy, and then I think Sutton had a big play too. That was like 60 something yards right there on two plays. So that just tells you how difficult things were offensively, especially in that first half, just really unable to get it going a little bit, give the defense a little bit of a breather, make it a sort of a back and forth game type of thing. It just felt like once Jared Goff got into rhythm there, it was like lights out. I mean, they were able to get a lot of different open pockets. The running game, you knew that was going to be a big priority. Jahmyr Gibbs, Vance Joseph said that he kind of reminded him a little bit of Chris Johnson. Just the speed and the dynamic, playmaking ability that Jahmyr Gibbs brought. Then David Montgomery. This was like a two-headed monster for the Lions, and a lot of their success stemmed from those two getting going.
Yeah, I mean, the run game starts everything, and certainly when they've got good receivers too, right? Jameson Williams has the ability to make plays. Sam Laporta, what ends up with 3 touchdowns in the game. They just had a lot of weapons, and it felt like when you let them play their game and their style and not have to worry about being behind and chasing a little bit, and they can rely on all those weapons, it becomes too difficult. You needed to find a way to stop the run and make them one-dimensional. And unfortunately, the Broncos couldn't do that. They stayed two-dimensional the entire game. I mean, even, you know, we talk about how much success Jared Goff ended up having, but still throughout the game, like Jahmyr Gibbs there was one play, it was 3rd and 10, I believe, in the second half.
Oh, yeah, they ran the ball.
And they ran the ball on third down and got a first down.
You got it, yeah.
And that, to me, felt like another critical moment where the Broncos, I believe that was when the Broncos had cut it to 14 after their opening touchdown drive in the second half. It's 21-7, and you're like, man, if the Broncos can get off the field here, maybe there's a chance you get back in this thing. And that was another one that felt like a backbreaker. And so much speed from Gibbs in particular, where he turns the corner, it feels like you've got a decent angle and you don't have a chance because of how fast he is.
Yeah.
Especially inside, especially on turf. I mean, this is a Lions team built for that sort of, you know, that dome environment, right?
Yeah.
They are tough, but their speed lends itself well to that. And then between Jameson Williams and Laporta, it just became too much for this Denver defense. And Phil, I said this on the postgame show that you do such a nice job with.
Thank you very much.
Every
Sunday. I appreciate
Sunday,
that. Thank you very
this
much. This time Saturday.
With Nick Ferguson.
Whatever it takes, like whenever the Broncos play, that's when we're doing it.
That's true. You can rely on that.
Yeah.
And I said I was down there with Sidney Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I know Sidney
Jones.
Field
level at Ford
Field. Field level at Ford Field.
Ford Field level. it just didn't feel like at any point the Broncos played complimentary football.
That's true.
The first quarter, the defense played well. The offense couldn't get it going. And then in the second half, finally the offense, hey, for only the second time all year, they score a touchdown on their opening drive of the second half.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, a little momentum. And boom, the Lions go right down and score. They could never get the complimentary piece going that is, again, how this team has won games previously.
Yeah, exactly. It was never like the momentum switched completely into the Broncos' favor. It always felt like Detroit had some sort of an answer, and then the Broncos unable to claw out of the hole there that they had dug.
Like a lion.
Exactly. They couldn't, a lion. They were just roaring the whole night. Couldn't do anything.
Rawr.
I will say the speed thing, I think, may be something that the Broncos pay attention to here this offseason, finding a way to just get a little bit faster on defense. Not sure what area in particular, but I do feel like speed tends to give this defense a little bit of problem, whether it's at the running back position where, Devon Achane with the Dolphins, his speed was an issue. Jahmyr Gibbs. I mean, these running backs nowadays coming out of college, they're just so fast. Jaleel McLaughlin is sort of like that for the Broncos, where that speed, and Sean Payton talked about this on Monday, like if your gap integrity is not like 100% there and there's a little bit of wiggle room, once you break through that first line of defense, you're really talking about a big play here. And that really was a problem for the Broncos there, where Gibbs started going. Montgomery had a nice day too. And then it just opened up so much more, particularly over the middle of the field, Eric. And Sean Payton was asked about that on Monday, like, hey, what happened there? There were so many gaps there, even in the passing game. And he was like, look, you start to focus a lot on the running game, that's going to open up stuff in the passing game. So it was really, like you mentioned, that two-dimensional aspect to their offense, it was too much to handle.
Well, and when they got them in third and long, they had some success for the most part, but they just didn't get them in many of those after that first quarter. And that obviously puts strain on your defense. Vance Joseph talked before the game about how much motion they use and how it's similar to the Dolphins in that standpoint. And he mentioned it's kind of scary as a defense when you've got to deal with all that. And it did prove problematic, and the Broncos hadn't allowed more than 22 points in
a long time.
I think week five against the Jets.
Yeah.
And really one of those, I mean, they allowed 24 because one of those was a defensive touchdown. So it'd been a long time since this team had given up that number of points. It did feel at times a little bit like Detroit was kind of just doing whatever it wanted.
Yeah. Picking them apart.
And I just, I will say that there's an element of concern there, but I think on the flip side, there's not many teams that can do that from a talent standpoint, where you have a Gibbs, a Montgomery, a Laporta, a Jameson Williams, an Amon-Ra St. Brown. We haven't even mentioned him yet.
And Goff was super accurate.
Yeah.
I mean, he played very well. Career high 5 touchdowns for Goff in that one. But I asked Vance this week, I was just chatting, doing some R work.
Oh.
Yeah. And he was like, look, when he gets in rhythm, Eric, that's when it can become a problem. It felt like maybe the Broncos were missing Nick Benito, or maybe a little bit, some of that pressure that we had seen weeks prior lead to maybe some turnovers or a big play, a change of momentum. It was missing a little bit. I was like, oh gosh, if the Broncos could get a turnover here or something like that, a spark, that could really help them out. And, it just never happened.
Yeah. And I think some of that, the blitzes the Broncos brought this week didn't get home quite as much as they have in the past. And to their credit, the Lions did a nice job blocking. I believe it was the first time their offensive line in quite a while has played together. They got healthy, got a couple of people back.
Yeah, their center came back.
Ragnow came back. Decker came back. So they were healthy. That's a good offensive line when they've got everybody.
Yeah.
The Broncos have to find a way to get more pressure. Obviously can't allow that number of points and hope to have success. But I do think that you look at some of the opponents down the stretch here for the Broncos, not to say they don't have guys that can hurt you, but I don't think they have that number of guys that can hurt you in that way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's a good offense. I mean, I think that was a top five offense coming in. So, they're clearly capable of doing it. And it just kind of shows you, Eric, to me, like how much of a week to week matchup driven league that this is, you know, where one week the Chicago Bears can go and beat the Lions, and really both times the Bears against the Lions, Chicago had a lot of success there, and same with the Broncos, they can go and beat the Chiefs or beat the Bills and then go out and have a rough outing against the Lions. It's just such a matchup driven league that where if there's a couple of matchups that go in one team's favor, they're able to exploit that and really have it change the outcome of the game.
And I think, to be fair too, we talk about, you know, when during the Broncos 5-game winning streak, they were at home for 4 of those games. I think we saw the impact that home field advantage had for the Broncos. That place was as loud as any stadium the Broncos have played in this year, and certainly several years. And a nice little saxophone on the national anthem.
I heard about that saxophone.
People were fired up. It was loud in there. And this is a Detroit team that had struggled the last few weeks, like you mentioned, and I think was really motivated to get back on track, get a home win in prime time.
They're playing to win the division.
Yeah, they can clinch a playoff spot depending on the outcome on Monday night tonight. I mean, this was a team Dan Campbell obviously wants to beat, Sean Payton, his mentor. So this was a team
trying to eat some kneecaps.
Yeah, they got some kneecaps.
I was like, they're going for the 4th down touchdown here, huh? This is sort of a kneecap play.
Yeah, at the end of the game?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Sean Payton didn't have a problem with that, to be fair. And I think, you know, the Broncos were calling timeouts on that drive. So if you're doing that, I think it's fair to go for the score there. But this was a Lions team that was certainly motivated and kind of one of those,
like, just sort of speaking,
they had to have it from their perspective. So it was defensively not the best, and then offensively you got to find a way, Phil, to just have more consistency. And it did seem like some things got better in the second half, but you just can't have that sort of slow start and expect to
where nothing is happening.
Yeah,
I mean, literally not able to string some of these plays together and get a couple first downs, or, you know, I think that is one area where this team could really make a big jump, is just being able to sort of like stop the bleeding a little, you know, where, hey, maybe the Lions have got a couple of things going in their way on the offense. Like, hey, let's just try and stop the bleeding here. Let's just focus on getting a first down here and just buying some time and seeing if you could just start to figure out a few things. Eric, we can talk about sort of the big sequence in the game where the Broncos get down to the goal line. It feels like, okay, if you score here, it'll be a 2-touchdown game. That would be back-to-back touchdowns for the offense. Maybe start to find some success or something. The Broncos unable to get it into the end zone, at least according to
the referees.
What was called on the field.
Yeah, and, Jaleel McLaughlin catches a nice pass down the middle of the field, almost in the end zone, ruled short. Sean Payton on Monday said, hey, if there was one I was going to challenge, it probably would have been that one. But even after looking at it, he said that view wasn't great. It wasn't necessarily.
It's really hard to overturn those.
Right, and he made a little mention that his personal success rate in terms of
history,
what the officiating crews choose to overturn, is not great in those situations. So you don't challenge it there. Then you have the Javonte play that Sean said he got a good look at that one, and it was clear to him he was down, which I think is probably true. And then you've got the Mike Burton touchdown where he gets in, but I think the Broncos, maybe if you run that play 2 weeks ago, it counts as a touchdown.
Oh, I see. Okay.
There were 5 offensive offside penalties called this weekend. Clearly an area of emphasis after the Kadarius Toney situation.
With the
Chiefs a couple of weeks ago. So, I think maybe the Broncos in that situation they suffered from a point of emphasis that maybe didn't exist 2 weeks ago.
Yes. The strange thing, though, is that Toney was like, he was like lined up like past Von Miller practically in that Chiefs game. Miners, the top of his helmet is still behind the football, which that I think is, his helmet was obviously further ahead than the rest of the line for the Broncos, but it was still behind the football.
Yeah. And I think that's such a, like, the angles there are interesting, where, like,
wherever the camera is to show it. Yeah, exactly.
You can find pictures where he looks like his head's in a neutral zone, and you can find pictures where it looks like it's not.
Yeah, that is true. Your camera angle on that does matter. So,
but, obviously, some frustration there.
Yes, and I think that not being able to score in that situation, that's sort of when I was like, okay, I don't think that they're going to be able to come back.
Right. Well, and obviously a lot made of Sean Payton and Russ's interaction on the sideline. Sean did say again today, just frustration with not getting in the end zone. Said he and Russ have a great relationship.
Didn't
want to go into it any more than that.
And even Russ after the game said, hey, you want a coach who has a lot of passion out there. Yeah. That was a big moment in the game. And there was a couple of tough calls that went against the Broncos. I was screaming like that watching it, Eric.
Yeah.
I'm sure you were screaming like that in the press box.
Well, it was an open air press box. No glass between you and the elements. And
so you were screaming.
So there's a lot of noise in there. So you could do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Normally you got to be a little quiet. Maybe a subtle fist pump after a tub.
I think that, I don't know if this is true, but a couple of laptops were thrown out of
I'll tell you the quality of the Wi-Fi there, not good.
Really?
I was close to just chucking my laptop.
Really? Did you plug in or no?
No. I don't think there was an option.
Really?
Yeah.
A lot of places give you the Ethernet.
I did just tweet off my phone. It was like...
Your phone? Your thumbs?
I don't even know why I brought my computer. It was like I was just carrying a brick with me that didn't do anything.
Wow.
It was frustrating. I mean, if they were frustrated about the touchdown.
You were battling the elements.
I was like, what is going on with this Wi-Fi?
You're like, this game's indoors, but I'm still facing tough conditions.
Like, it says there's a media network, but it doesn't work.
Oh.
So that was frustrating.
Oh, got it. So the net...
These are the type of things I deal with that you got to fight back from, and I don't think I did a good job. I let it get in my head a little bit.
It was a media net not work.
Yeah, media not work. That's true.
Yeah.
It was very frustrating. I was angry.
Yeah.
I was angry.
Maybe you had the wrong password.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unable to overcome.
They changed the password, but I didn't hear the audible because it was so loud.
Yeah. They're like, kill. And you're like, what?
Yeah. I'm just typing media 23 and it's not working. Yeah. Very frustrating.
Wow. They called two passwords in the huddle.
I didn't get the check.
You didn't get the check.
Yeah.
Two-way go on the... On the password.
That's true.
Not on the same page.
I was trying to stop one password, but the other password got loose and I couldn't get it.
It was like kind of like Judy against the Chargers. Like he was like wide open and then you were like, oh, where's the ball? Where's the password coming in? And then you didn't come down with it.
Yeah.
Or maybe you got one part of the password correct, but not both parts.
That's possible.
It's possible.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You want to keep going?
we could.
I will say I didn't think that part of the game was as big a deal as maybe some, just because, especially in retrospect, the Lions went right down and scored again.
Yeah, but you never know. If you score a touchdown there, maybe it starts to change the feel.
Yeah, it didn't the previous time.
That is true. After the Broncos scored that touchdown, then
28-7.
Yeah.
And so I didn't, you know, at that point you can make it 28-14. Maybe it makes you feel better after the game in terms of like, oh, we kept fighting. We were in this. We, you know, every chance we had to respond. Maybe the score looks respectable, but I don't think in terms of I saw somebody, because people were like, why did the Broncos kick a field goal there? And somebody tweeted out that fourth down bot thing. And there really wasn't that big of a difference between going for it and kicking a field goal, because at that point the win probability was so low anyway. So I know it became a big moment and certainly has been a lot of talk shows have, you know, picked up on the sideline interaction particularly. But the game to me was lost before that moment.
I mean, they're hard to think that, OK, even if they scored a touchdown there, that they would be able to just sort of overcome what the Lions were doing on offense. So,
right.
That was a tough moment. But I do think that this Broncos offense is capable of playing a lot better than it did against the Lions.
Yeah, and I think one of those areas where it has to be better is in the run game.
Yeah.
Sean Payton talked Monday and said, we haven't really run the ball well since Cleveland, which is three games ago at this point. He was asked whether Samaje Perine could see a little bit more action because Javonte Williams' yards per carry hasn't been as good the last couple of weeks. And Perine maybe has that burst a little bit.
Yeah, Perine tends to come in like sort of in some of those 2-minute drives, some obvious like passing situations. Like he comes in very specific scenarios where maybe everybody's expecting a pass and it's a handoff and rips off a huge chunk, or like he tends to be available for those little flip outs, you know? And so like he's having a lot of production in those scenarios.
Right. And I think Sean Payton kind of pointed to that when asked about it. He did say they look at everything and review how many carries, how many targets everybody's getting. But
yeah,
he did say, hey, some of Javonte's carries are coming in different situations. Tough, it's first spots, and 10 and you're trying to run the football.
Yeah.
Or it's third and one and everybody knows you're going to run and you're trying to run the football. Those are different.
Yeah. You're just scenarios. Trying to get 1 yard.
Right.
You're not trying to, like, you know, get a big chunk down the field.
Right. Exactly. So, but I do think, going back to identity and how the Broncos want to play, you've got to find a way to be better in the run game.
Yeah.
Down the stretch, and it's going to be a challenge this week against New England. They're very good against the run, and so and they take away your top option.
Yeah, Bill Belichick tends to just sort of do that as a philosophy, right? Saying, like, look, the Broncos like to throw it to Courtland Sutton. Let's remove that and see what they can do.
Right.
That's sort of a hallmark of a Bill Belichick coach team.
So we'll have to see how the Broncos offense can get back on track, but certainly have to be able to put those drives together, score in clutch moments.
Protect the football.
There are a couple situations where I felt like the Broncos were close to getting something going, and they just couldn't string them together.
Yeah.
Or a negative play impacted them too much. A
lot of pressure on Russell Wilson, I will say. And some of that is a product of you're down, so you got to start throwing the football a lot. But I will say the protection, you know, he got a lot of hits, Eric. And I thought, you know, Aaron Glenn did a nice job for the Lions. Sean Payton was even complimentary on Monday, just saying, look, they did a nice job. But they were bringing pressure from a lot of different places. And I'm sure Russ was feeling it on Sunday just because he took a couple of big hits too. Like there was a corner blitz that he just didn't see that guy come in because typically the corner was like from so far out, it's rare to have that guy blitz. But he did. He came and Russ just didn't see it. And he teed off on him. That was a pretty big hit. Russ has done a nice job this year being able to sort of play a lot and protect himself and bounce back for some of those. But I bet you he was feeling it on Sunday.
Yeah, and they've got to protect him and find a way to keep him upright.
Yeah.
And, you know, avoid some of those hits when you can. Like you said, sometimes you're kind of surprised, like, oh, how did he pop back up?
Oh, my gosh.
That one.
I was like, God, he got beat.
And it's obviously critical, I think, for this team to keep Russ available. And
yeah.
You know, for all this, the struggles the Broncos had, that he still made some big time throws. And there's, I thought he actually did a better job in the second half of working the middle of the field than we've seen the last couple of games. There were some kind of seam routes, some things in the middle of the field that I thought were good to see, some intermediate routes.
Even that first pass to Judy, that's not something that we've typically seen from this Broncos offense.
Right. So it was good, you know, to see Jerry get a little more involved, particularly early. It didn't lead to points necessarily, but that's a guy that you've got to, Russell said it a week ago, we're going to need Jerry
over
the final stretch. And he had a nice kind of bounce back, if you will. I believe it was his most productive game of the
season,
right?
It felt like it for sure. Yeah. I mean, he was just able to, he was like solid, you know what I mean? Like, and some of those catches were not easy. So, Eric, I do think as sort of frustrating as that game was and as like down as it kind of feels, you know, this Broncos team still has a lot to play for over these final three weeks. You're talking about the Patriots on Christmas Eve, and then they have the Chargers at home, and then you have you go on the road and play the Las Vegas Raiders. So these are three very winnable games for the Broncos. Two of them have interim head coaches.
What?
Two of these teams.
Oh, yeah.
Interim head coaches. Bill Belichick, there's been a lot of speculation about the season that they've had there in New England this year. And all of them are playing quarterbacks that did not start the season for them as their starters. So these are three teams that were definitely expecting different seasons. You know, certainly New England, I think there was a lot of talk at the beginning of the year, like, hey, maybe this team is going to find a way to get back into the mix there in the AFC East. And, you know, with Bill Belichick, you're always going to be in the mix. So their season has not gone the way that they were hoping for. The Chargers really, you know, we saw them just a week ago. You know, that's a team that thought that they were going to have Super Bowl aspirations. And then even the Raiders thought maybe they were going to be able to just take that next step. They got Jimmy G, and they just sort of had a lot of hope at the beginning of the season. But these are three definitely winnable games for the Broncos. And if they just take care of business there, focus on what they can control, let's see what how the other pieces fall. But, you know, the Broncos still have a great opportunity to get to 10 wins.
Yeah. You know, obviously it starts with New England, and they've been competitive against some of these teams, and they jump out to a big win on the road on Thursday night against Pittsburgh, end up holding on for the victory. They played Kansas City tough.
Pretty tough.
In the first half at home. You know, certainly they beat Buffalo earlier in the year. So this is a team that if you don't take them seriously and you make mistakes and you don't find a way to have some success on offense and you don't clean things up on defense, they'll beat you.
Yeah.
I know they have three wins, and it is not a team that's had a lot of success this year, but they've been in some close games. And I mean, the Broncos better make sure they're ready to go and clean some of these things up, because otherwise, boom, just like that. We talk about winning the last three, but Sean Payton said it's got to start with this one.
Yeah.
And if you're not careful this week, it could just be done before you even get a chance to make that happen.
I like talking about all three.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's possible to do it, certainly. And
yeah.
And I think definitely the expectation should be that you win these next two at home.
Yes.
The Broncos have had a lot of success at home over the last few weeks during that winning streak, won four in a row at home, right? And if you can find a way to get these two, you give yourself a great chance to go the last week of the season, maybe a win and get in situation.
Yeah.
Need some help.
I do think that, like, if this Broncos team is like, hey, we're a playoff team, we're good enough to be in the playoffs, these are three games that you should probably win. You know, playoff teams should be able to win these games here. So I think a lot is still really on the table for the Broncos. You know, a lot of these results this past weekend did not go in the Broncos' favor. A lot of really close games, too, that were like, oh, my gosh, are you kidding me?
Teams with leads that blew them late that would have really helped the Broncos.
The Bears could have held on there, but Joe Flacco decided to just look like
Hail
vintage.
Hail Mary in their arms.
Bounced right off his hands.
Maybe catch that one.
I think that it appears easier. Like, I'm like, oh, why didn't you just, miss that? Yeah. But I think it's a lot harder.
Yeah, that one hurt. But Houston comes back to beat
Houston
Tennessee
in overtime
without C.J. Stroud.
Cincinnati on Saturday, Minnesota had that game.
Yep.
Unable to convert the tush-push back-to-back plays in
That's
overtime.
True. Also, almost had a couple ties there with,
yeah, the
with
clock
the Cincinnati,
down.
With
yeah.
the Houston.
Boy, I really thought Minnesota was going to win that game. I was like, they're almost in field goal position here. All they needed to do is get the, like, literally a couple of inches, and they could not.
Two times in a row, couldn't do it.
Nick Mullins could not pull that off.
No, he turned the ball over too many times.
Funny how you can just become a huge fan of one of these teams. You know, I'm like, I was a big Vikings fan there for a few minutes.
That's true. Now, I will say everybody is kind of freaking out, like, oh, the Broncos playoff odds are at 20% right now.
No.
If you win these three, they jump up, right? And
let's get the calculator out.
And I think that something that is in the Broncos' favor is that they don't play any of these teams down the stretch. And so
the other playoff teams.
So it's you know, New England, Los Angeles, and Las Vegas are not in the playoff race. And so you get to play some teams that have losing records, whereas, like, Houston plays Cleveland this week.
That's a big game.
Cincinnati plays Pittsburgh this week. Indy's going to play Houston. Pittsburgh still plays, Cincinnati and Cleveland still play each other.
Yeah.
So there are some games where these teams are going to kind of take care of themselves.
There's going to be some guaranteed losses in the mix there.
Right. Or some nice ties, maybe.
Oh, yeah, you can see that. Yeah, it's Christmas time, you get a nice tie.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true. That's a good point.
You get a tie.
I would say that if the Broncos get to 10 wins, there would have to be kind of a unlikely scenario happening for them to get left out.
Yeah,
and it's probably likely at this point that if they get in, it would be at the 7 seed.
Had
they won in Detroit, like, you're talking about 6 seed, maybe. 5 seed even. And so, and maybe even if Kansas
division,
City were to slip up, that is pretty much gone at this point.
That's gone, I think.
Kansas City would have to lose two of the next three for that to be possible, which seems unlikely.
Yes.
But, you know, this is, I will say one thing to watch that, you know, we talk about some of these teams, Pittsburgh, Indy, Houston, Cleveland, Cincinnati. The Buffalo-Miami situation is interesting because.
Looming. Would you say looming?
I would say it's looming because if the Bills beat Miami head to head and the Dolphins don't win their next two, Buffalo wins that division, and all of a sudden Miami's in the wild card race.
You don't
want
to be in a tiebreaker situation with Miami.
Right.
Because you lost to Miami. They beat the Bills.
You're right. So what you want is either for Miami to just beat Buffalo
and win the division,
then Buffalo would get to seven losses and you'd be ahead of Buffalo.
Yep.
Or if Miami loses out, which is actually not all that unrealistic, I don't think, considering
they
play Dallas, they play at Baltimore, and they host the Bills.
Yep.
Then Miami would just be below you as well, and you'd be okay. So what you don't want to happen is have Miami like win one of the next two and then lose to Buffalo. Then they're both probably going to get playoff spots, and then you need more help from Indy, Houston, Cincinnati. Yeah. But again, these are all kind of like a very specific combination. I think the focus right now has to be get to 10 wins.
Get to 10.
And hopefully things work out in a way where because of your AFC record, because you've got some head-to-heads, you'd be okay and it'll probably make it.
Yeah, because you got three AFC opponents coming up here. So if you win all three, that's going to improve your conference record. And also you can't, if you're the Broncos, you can't worry about it. But if you're just fans paying attention here, I think that if you get 10 wins, that's a major accomplishment for this team, and let the cards fall as they may.
I mean, even if it'll feel disappointing, right? If you end up with 9 wins and go 9-8, but still, if you look at it and you think, oh, we went 8-3 after a 1-5 start. That's still a good stretch there. It'd be the first time the Broncos have a winning record since 2016. It's obviously not the goal, but even if you got to, like you said, 10 wins and you don't make the playoffs, you're looking at 8-2
down the stretch.
Since the 1-5 start, a team that has probably figured out how to win, has gotten some clutch wins here down the stretch. And I know everyone, it would have been great, right, to beat Detroit and then win the next two and be fine entering week 18. But the chances were when you start 1-5, if you're going to have a chance at the playoffs, it was probably going to go right up until the end.
Yeah, and you have to rattle off wins in a row here. Right. You know, so... yeah, I just think that, hey, this is such a week-to-week league that when you lose, you feel like everything's terrible, and when you win, you feel like everything's going in your way. So, like, when you lose to Houston, you're like, oh, the streak's over. Like, this is not good. You beat the Chargers. Okay, everything's fine again. You lose to the Lions. Everything's bad again. You know, hard to ride that roller coaster of emotions. Probably a good reason why you got guys like Russell Wilson who really just sort of stay level-headed, never get too high, never get too low. And Sean talked about it again on Monday here, just like the leadership in the Broncos locker room, the experience there with some of these guys who've gone through these hard games. You're going to have to rely on them.
Right. And I will say schedule-wise, we've talked about it a little bit, but you're not facing you're not going to Baltimore. You're not playing the Chiefs the last – stretch. It doesn't mean that these teams can't beat you and aren't good enough to beat you, but you're not looking at it's not a scenario where, hey, we've got to go 3-0 against a brutally tough schedule.
Yeah. You know, I mean, on the flip side of that, if you're playing one of these teams that are in the mix, at least it's in your hands. You know, you're like, okay, if we win this, that's a loss for them.
But like, if you are, I'm trying to think of one of the teams that has a tough schedule down the stretch, like Pittsburgh, for example, still has to play Baltimore, still has to play Cincinnati, like
tough teams.
A tough stretch here. Still has to go to Seattle.
This is about as good of a three-game stretch as you could ask for to finish up the season for the Broncos.
And
you know,
Phil, if you look back all the way to before the season when we kind of went through the schedule, it didn't happen the way I expected. I didn't think 1-5 and then get back to 7-7. But I kind of always looked at this stretch of you're going to be 7-7 and have to win the last three.
Yeah. It didn't happen exactly how you said, but almost.
But 7-7 is what I said.
You were right on right
so
there.
So that was nice.
Yeah. It's kind of like you're a genius.
The 10-win theory, as our friend Ike talks about.
You just get to the 10.
It's always been about that.
Oh, it's always been about 10 for the Broncos.
Yeah.
It just doesn't matter.
And they've got a chance, which is, I think, you know, if you looked at the schedule, even like when you were after wins over the Bills, right?
Mm-hmm.
After you got that and you were saying, okay, well, how can we set ourselves up? You probably would have said, hey, if we can
get to 10 still.
Well, right. But like, if we can get to, you know, what was Buffalo? You were 5-6 after Buffalo, I believe.
Yeah.
Or 5-.
Yeah, because then the next week you beat Cleveland and you get the 500.
Or Minnesota.
Or Minnesota and then Cleveland.
Yeah, exactly. So And if you were like, hey, can we just get to 7-7 and have a chance down the stretch? I think you would have taken that with games against, you know,
Cleveland and Minnesota. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, no, I think you're happy with the three you got here.
You've put yourself in position. Yeah. And you just got to get back to playing the style of football that you've played. And Courtland Sutton, Phil, normally very, he was a little edgy, I thought, post-game.
Oh.
It just in terms of, you know, he was asked, hey, how do you guys bounce back? And he was like, well, why is that your question? Like, we've done this
all year.
We've shown that we've bounced back. Why would we do anything different?
Yeah.
And then somebody said, when you're in a rut like this, and Courtland cut him off and said, we're not in a rut.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I like that. I like that attitude from these guys of we're annoyed, we're frustrated. We know we didn't play well against Detroit and suffered a big loss because of it, but we're going to bounce right back.
Yeah. I think the thing is, some of the fundamental breakdowns that happened against the Lions, I think you can just clean those up. You know, Russ even said that after the game, was like, look, the Lions played really well and we didn't play clean. We got to play cleaner, I think is what he kept saying. And I think it's not like the Broncos went out there, played their best football and still fell short. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot that the Broncos sort of just did on their own that didn't work out right. So, like, I'd rather be in that situation where you're like, look, we got to clean things up in-house here, then we'll be okay. You know, like, you give all the credit to the Lions because they did a heck of a job. But there were some fundamental things where you're like, look, your gap integrity wasn't right there. You're going behind guys where you should be cutting in front of them. You clean those things up, you're going to be in a better spot. I think that's sort of the feel here is that, look, if the Broncos play how they should win these three games. Right. You know what I mean? And that's sort of the mindset here.
And I do think there's a big benefit of playing at home, coming back, getting a few days of rest, like we talked about before. And you know, I think from how you handle things, Sean Payton talking about, you know, this is a chance to give these guys some rest, be back at home, have the crowd. I know it's Christmas Eve. I know some people may not want to make the trip out, but hopefully it's as packed as it can be and people
Santa
are loud.
Might be,
and yeah, maybe Santa's there.
You see Harlan during the game?
No.
There was a couple dressed up as Santa and Mrs. Claus, and they were leaving, or they were going up the stairs. It was still early in the game, and he was like, yeah, they got a busy weekend. They smart of them to get out of here early. It's pretty funny. It was a pretty nice line.
Kevin's the best.
He is very good.
He's tremendous.
The lines are really... He did the Miami game and also this game. So maybe you don't want Kevin anymore.
Yeah. Stretch here. I heard he said that the Lions offense was having the time of its life.
He said something like that too. Yeah. I think coming back from a commercial break, which is also a little tongue in cheek there. Kevin is really good at that.
Yeah.
Where he says stuff and you're like, that's funny.
Good recall.
Like if you're paying attention
6 years ago.
Yeah. If you're paying attention, it's funny. Do you know what I mean? Right. And he's good at that. I don't think anybody's feelings get hurt there, but it's just a little bit of a, it's a little
it's a
something.
Barb.
Yeah. So yeah, exactly. There you go.
Yeah.
I do like that.
It was a tough loss, Phil.
Santa could be there at the game.
Oh yeah.
The Broncos game.
That's true. I hope people should. I hope it's loud. I hope, need some Mile High Magic here maybe over the last few weeks.
Oh yeah. It's a magical night.
Yeah.
You know, if you think about it. You think Dulcich is going to come back down here?
Oh,
down
yeah,
the stretch
we didn't
here?
Talk about him.
What do you think? It seemed like maybe he was going to be a go last week, but suffered a little bit of soreness and swelling in his foot.
Yeah.
You don't want that. Maybe it was like a little bit too much water. Maybe he's drinking too much water.
Oh,
get a little water weight.
Maybe you fly.
Swollen
ankles
feet.
Swell up.
Exactly. He's been sitting in front of his computer for too long.
Sean Payton did clarify it has nothing to do with the hamstring. Still healthy there, which is good because obviously that's been the problem the last couple of years. Sounds like they'll see where he is this week.
Said he expects him to play.
Expects him to play over the final 3 weeks. And obviously if you could have him for a potential postseason game, that'd be big too. But got to win these to get there. And, you know, we'll see. I don't know if he'll play this week or not. It did sound more precautionary rather than like something terrible happened.
Yeah.
But certainly the Broncos could use somebody.
Oh my gosh,
like
he would
him.
Be a huge difference.
There was one play in the, I think I can't remember if the Broncos scored or not on the drive. There was a second half play where Lucas Kroll kind of had an opportunity to catch one.
Yeah, he got knocked out of his hands.
Couldn't make the play.
Kinda boxed out the defender a little.
I feel like a Greg Dulcich makes that play.
Oh.
Just that's the type of caliber athlete he is. We know soft hands, we used to hear about Greg Dulcich.
Buttery?
Yes.
Is it buttery? Smooth.
So, getting Greg back would be, especially if it was this week when, we know, Sean Payton said, hey, we saw the Lions take Cortland Sutton away from us.
You need another
expects
little.
New England to do the same thing probably. Can you count, get Jerry Jeudy and Greg Dulcich going a little bit
this
week?
Yeah.
It would be big if Greg could get back.
He just provides an element that the Broncos offense currently doesn't necessarily have, like in terms of that intermediate sort of, the speed
the
and
the valve.
Exactly. Yeah. Just a guy like that, where I do think that Troutman and Kroll have done a nice job here.
Right.
Troutman's three touchdowns this year. I think that's sort of about where you thought, but like Dulcich coming in, Sean Payton called him like that Joker type of caliber player. And, you felt like, okay, maybe he's going to have a big season, and you just removed that essentially all year.
Right, yeah.
And that's been a missing piece here for this offense.
Yeah, they could use him for sure. And Troutman, that's not his game. And yeah. Kroll is just still a young guy that has made some good plays. But obviously, I think you expect Dulcich's talent level to be a little higher just based on where he was drafted, kind of what he did in college.
And we saw a couple of glimpses of that as a rookie, that Chargers game.
Chargers game, he had a big game in Jacksonville, or not in Jacksonville, but against Jacksonville in London.
In London town.
He had several really good catches, right?
He did.
So I think he would open things up a little bit.
He's a weapon.
And the other thing is this time of year, what can you do that other teams haven't seen yet?
Wrinkle. And so some people call that a wrinkle.
Being able to get Greg back would be big from that. I think from a play calling, play design, offensive perspective.
You kind of want a wrinkle, but you also have to iron out the mistakes.
That's true. You don't want too many wrinkles.
Yeah, exactly. So you want to like a little something there, so maybe it's not too stiff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit of a give. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Maybe like one of those non-iron shirts that you can get.
Just toss that baby in the dryer.
Exactly. That technology in shirts has really come a long way.
Who came up with that?
NASA, for sure.
I had a feeling that they did.
NASA is working on that.
So.
They were like, how can we make it appear like it's been ironed, but it's non-ironed?
I'll have you know, Phil, the hotel room in Detroit, iron.
Really? Yeah. I was wondering about that just because after the game, you look really sharp.
Yeah, I didn't need it because I was just ready to go, but
you didn't need it.
Well, I just carried the shirt on this time just in case. But
you're just ready.
But there was an iron.
Really?
Yeah.
It's nice. It's next level.
It's the Motor City. It's you work with your hands. It's industrial. Yeah. They're like
iron.
We have appliances.
Yeah, like in Pittsburgh, they for sure have an iron.
Yeah,
definitely. The Steel City.
Many.
Yeah, but Detroit, that's nice to have
appliances.
Oh yeah, like a blender.
Yeah, just everything there.
Yeah, dishwasher.
So not like LA. They had what we needed in Detroit.
Okay, that's
but
good.
But not a W.
Not the W.
No.
Which is more important, looking good or
W? I take
the
W, no iron, I think.
No. Okay, got it. Yeah. We must also make reference to the fact that our friend Ben Swanson.
Not here.
Yeah, he was not here last week and they still
lost.
Yeah, so our formula.
I think we just keep him away.
Okay, yeah, just to be safe.
Yeah, because when they were winning, he wasn't here.
Yeah, exactly, so we know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Ben Swanson, you still can win.
You still can win. If he's here, you can't.
Cannot win.
So
yeah, so
important.
Kind of makes sense. All right, Eric. Well, definitely a frustrating loss, but I think that there's still a lot to play for here down the stretch.
Yep.
Not all hope is lost.
No, there's still hope.
Yeah, exactly. It has been frustrating, but I do really think that it's just so week to week.
Yeah.
I can't get over the fact that like these Monday shows, it's just so much different, win or loss.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Before you turn it on, you're just screaming.
I had a lot
anger.
Of rage.
Yeah.
A lot of rage.
You had to change shirts because you ripped your first one off.
Yeah. During the game, I was a little heated there.
Well, I mean, listen, the reality is Cortland Sutton said this after the game. We want to be a great team. Right now, we're a good team.
Ooh.
And I think
that's a nice line.
Yeah. And he was like, part of how you become a great team is when you have a big play in the red zone, you score.
Oh yeah.
You know, like you don't lose the football and lose a chance to get the lead. You score in those situations. When you have first and goal, you score. And I think that's the reality, is there's a clump of teams right now, whether it's the Browns, the Texans, the Colts, the Steelers, the Broncos, the Bengals, there's a clump there where they're probably all good teams, and which team can make it. And then there's a couple, like Baltimore right now looks like really a great good. Team.
Yeah.
San Francisco looks like a great team. Frankly, Buffalo, the way they've been playing the last couple of weeks.
I'd say Buffalo's really good.
Yeah, they're a really good team.
Yeah.
And we know when the Broncos play well, they can be a really good team.
Yeah.
But I do think kind of the reality is there's tiers right now, and not to say the Broncos can't get hot if they make it into the postseason, but this is right now who the Broncos are. They're a team that's fighting back from 1-5, that's about 500, that can play with anybody and beat anybody on its best game, on its best day.
Yeah.
But when they don't play well, a really good team is probably going to do what Detroit did.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, can the Broncos get back to being that really good team, being who they are, and go on a run here?
Yeah, and it starts with New England.
Yes, it does.
So we'll have a Thursday episode coming up. It'll come up on Thursday, yeah.
Crazy.
Well, I was going to say that's when we'll go in depth.
Yeah, this wasn't in depth. This was not in depth.
This was just sort of a peek.
Yeah.
A sneak peek, if
Next
you will.
Next one will be at least twice as long.
Yeah. And also maybe some holiday-themed motifs.
You love a good motif.
I love this, you just kind of make some comparisons, maybe some jokes, some laughs, some cheer, really, holiday cheer.
Yeah. When you go to the dentist sometimes, after you lose your baby canines, you're like, what's going to happen next? They say motif.
Motif come out.
Yeah.
That's true. Motifing.
Yeah.
Teething ring. Yeah.
Nice.
That was nice.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So we should say, just as an early warning, I don't think there will be a Christmas Day episode.
Oh, on the Monday.
Next Monday.
It'll be Tuesday.
So it's like one last present. You get to unwrap Tuesday. One more present the next day.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We'll just push it back.
So don't be scared.
It'll be okay. Yeah,
don't worry.
It'll be Monday.
No, it won't.
I'm sorry, Tuesday. Tuesday, the day after. Yeah.
It's right.
See? I try to sneak it in just to make sure you're paying attention.
Yeah. So.
But we'll be back on Thursday and we'll get into it all with the Patriots.
We'll get a deep
dive on the Patriots. Until then, Eric, that's going to do it for us. For Eric Dalala, I am Phil Milani. You've been listening to
The Neutral Zone.